Welcome to Wonderful World. This is David. Glad you are getting in today with this, and we look forward to just connecting together today and on the days ahead. This is a little later in the week for podcast. How many people's lives are busy, right? And sometimes it just catches up with you, and so I don't like to be a person that just kind of does something for the sake of doing it and getting it done quickly. And I wanted to be able to give you the best on this and do my best on this. So I think today this podcast will really target two main groups of people and hopefully bring them to some understanding. So, because we're going to talk about the Christians and non-Christians and how we view the world. Understand something, that worldview is desperately important. And so it is important to me. How you view the world is going to shape how you think in life, how you deal with people. And today we will talk about that. Just on a personal note, about a year ago, I became a part of the John Maxwell team and with leadership. And if you know anything about John Maxwell, you know that he is the penultimate leader and someone who leads leaders. And I was very thankful to be a part of that. You can see a little more of that at patreon.com/life180. And also, if you look up Life 180 with David on Instagram, there's some things there. I don't really... I kind of got out of the Instagram. It's interesting, social media, the way it is now. I kind of got out of the Instagram thing for a while. And I'll be honest with you, I think I'm going to kind of click back into Instagram because I did the Facebook thing for a while. And I do that some because of ministry and just the need that it is there. We do a lot of our live stuff through Facebook. And I enjoy Facebook for that. I don't enjoy Facebook as a whole because it just seems to be like a dumpster fire half the time. There's something always going off there. But, you know, it is necessary and useful to what we do in ministry. Twitter, I like Twitter to some degree. I feel like there's a broader spectrum that I get on Twitter, and I don't think it's just because who I'm engaged with. I think it's just because you can see. I know that there are biases that come from both sides, but the one thing I like about Instagram, even though many of them are owned by the same people, it tends to be a more neutral environment, and so I actually enjoy Instagram for that reason. So as far as those three social media basis, I probably enjoy Instagram. So the other day I was like, why am I not engaged on that more? So be looking out for some things there. We'll probably do some things, and as I do, I'll let you know. But I'd just love to link up with you there. But you can look up Life 180 with David. I haven't used that in a while, and so that's something we're going to be going back to, as well as I have my own personal account, and you should be able to find it through there as well. So, but today I want to talk about... I read an interesting article by Kerry Newhoff, and if you don't know who Kerry Newhoff, he's a Canadian, and he's a Canadian pastor, and has a lot of things. I listen to a podcast that he does each week, and the name of the podcast has totally left me right now, and that's terrible, but it's actually with the Barna Group, Barna Research, and he does it with a guy named David Kinnaman. But Kerry Newhoff seems to be a fairly balanced man and his approach to dealing with issues. And so I like what I read from him a lot of times. I've got where I don't endorse anybody completely because we've seen how that turns out sometimes. But I want to share with you an article because the title caught me, and I think it'll catch you, and I'll probably hint on that into the title of this podcast. But the title was Three Things Christians Do That Non-Christians Despise. And that title just jumped out at me, and I thought, man, I want to see what these three are. Now, I believe after reading this article, there's probably more than three. But I believe he does condense them down to three. Now, he starts off with kind of a famous quote Mahatma Gandhi famously said, and Carrie says, sadly said, he said, "I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Now, the word Christian in the Bible was first used at Antioch of Syria. And the reason they called them Christians is because they reminded them of Christ, how they acted, how they lived, how they walked. And so it was not a label that Christians put on themselves. It was actually put on them. And so when I read that, I'm like, and see that biblical perspective of the word Christians, I guess I'm asking myself, do we reflect Christ? Do we show people Christ? So Gandhi is basically saying you're not Christians. You are Christian by label, but you are not Christian by description because you were supposed to be looking like Christ and you look nothing like Christ. So that was a fairly interesting perspective for me when I really kind of condensed that quote down. And so Carrie begins to share in this article some thoughts, and I'm just going to give you some highlights and talk about them for a second. And he says this: it's not so much that Christians have an image problem, it's far more likely that they have that we have an integrity problem. And I like that he says we, by the way, not they. He says, "I am a follower of Jesus Christ." And I will repeat that. Actually, he didn't say that. I'm saying by what he's saying, I am a follower of Christ. There is no doubt about that. Christ has changed my life. I believe that he is the answer and the source and the hope for all mankind. And so I am a Christian, and I am a follower of Jesus. I don't use the word Christian as much anymore because it's become more of a label. I use a follower of Christ because that's my description. And I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am someone that lives after him. And I agree that it's not that we have an image problem, because we're so concerned. I'll go back to Instagram for a second. We're so concerned about image. And image isn't the issue. We can put an image on anything. As he said, it's far more likely that we have an integrity problem. People can't trust what they see and what they hear. So the image is all there. It looks like it, but there's something wrong behind the image. And that's where integrity comes in, this honesty of heart, this honesty of character. And you're going to get misunderstood if you put the label of Christian on yourself. Just understand that. But your integrity is going to shine through at the end of the day. And when we talk about the concept of wonderful world, a world without the body of Christ, without followers of Christ, living out what he said is not going to be wonderful. It's just going to be the opposite. And so we have this mandate to live this out. So he gives three things that Christians do that non-Christians despise. And the number one was judge. Judge. Now, let's make a differentiation real quickly here. Judge in this sense means a condemning of people. If you remember when a woman was caught in adultery, she was brought to Jesus and he said, "Neither do I condemn thee." Now, is he saying her actions previously, was he condoning those and saying there wasn't a problem? No. There is a discernment that you have to have between right and wrong. We all have that. We all have this moral core. But I don't condemn someone because it's not my place, and therefore I need to learn to how I change my perspective. Carrie says that 2 minutes on social media will reveal Christians and preachers condemning unchurched people for their sexual habits, preferences, lifestyle choices, even political views. And it is true. That is one of the reasons I said a minute ago, I just want to disconnect from Facebook entirely sometimes, because it is just Christians saying, look how unchristian, non-Christians act and live. And you're like, well, what do you really expect? But at the same time, the people doing this are proclaiming Christ, and there is nothing more unchristian that we can do than have this condemning voice. And by the way, there's some good quotes that I'll give you before as we lay them down. Here's one: very few people get judged into life change. Far more get loved into it. Very few get judged into life change. Oh, because you're condemning me and you're hounding me about that, I'm going to change. No, that's not the way it works. But people do get loved into life change when they see it's real, when they see it's effective. And so we have to look at our own selves. We have to look at our own mistakes. We have to look at our own depth. And we got to deal with the issues that we're facing and realize that what we receive is a loving God that doesn't condemn us but came to save us, and that we can have that heart in the same way. Because the other quote says, you can't judge someone and love them at the same time. So what would happen if Christians stopped judging the world, because that's God's job, and start loving it instead? So you can use discernment on what is right and wrong and the choices we make, and every one of us should do that. But at the same time, because somebody makes a decision different than mine, I don't come away with condemnation. I come away with love. I just talked with a man yesterday who said that he has countered an issue in his home. One of his children has made a major life decision that is, in his estimation, and biblically, he's right, a bad decision. But he said he brought them in, sat them down, and said, you're an adult. So therefore, you have to make your own decisions. And here's what I want you to understand. I completely disagree with your decision. I think the decision you're making is a sinful decision. And I will tell you that up front. However, I am going to love you as much as I've ever loved you, even though you've made this bad decision. I'm not going to approve of your decision, but I'll still love you in spite of your decision. And he talked about how that was received. Beautiful. So the first thing Carrie says that that Christians do that non-Christians despise is judge. The second one is be hypocritical. Be hypocritical. The word hypocrite comes from an actor on a stage being something that they're not. This quote says, it's far easier to call someone else a hypocrite than it is to admit you are one. And we do that all the time. People on both sides of an issue, oh, they're hypocrites. Now, we have to really sink down into this. Carrie says, I mean, just deciding you're not going to make mistakes never keeps you from making mistakes. As a matter of fact, I feel like it's, I use this as like the coffee cup example. If I've got a hot cup of coffee, and I don't drink coffee, please don't turn your podcast off because I offended some of you. I don't drink coffee. I just don't like it. I don't like the taste of it. I'll blow your mind, some of you. I don't even like the smell of it. But some people, I know you're like, you may be drinking some right now. This is my lifeblood. But I remember I had a teacher I was in eighth grade, I remember, and he sent me down one time to go get him a cup of coffee down to the cafeteria. So I went to the cafeteria and got this cup of coffee. Well, I had to descend two flights of steps to get to him, and it was a long walk. And as I'm walking, they had filled this cup of coffee to the very top, and all I could think about was don't spill the coffee, don't spill the coffee. And I found when I'm concentrated on don't spill the coffee, don't spill the coffee, I tend to spill it more. And he told me, he said, the problem is you're, and when I got there, I was telling him that, and he was laughing. And I remember this is eighth grade. He said, hey, if you'll just look up and just walk with a balanced walk and quit staring at the coffee, you won't spill anymore. And I think the same way. Just because I'm not going to make mistakes, I'm not going to make mistakes, usually that's when I make a mistake. The answer is actually much more simple than that, and Carrie says it this way. You watch what you say. Just common sense. Don't say offensive things. Don't do offensive things. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Something or someone, because we want to be accepted. I was talking with young people the other night about the children of Israel. We want a king just like everybody else wants a king. And Samuel's like, no, you don't need a king. You've got, no, we want a king like everybody else. And I have to tell you the fast forward of that. Isn't it interesting when they crucified Jesus, they said, we have no king but Caesar. You got what you wanted, and it's not always good. Quit trying to pretend something that you're not, someone that you're not. Add humility to your words. Add humility. And the big one is own who you are. I'll give you this quote. Owning your sin is different than living in it. It's different than living in it. Confession is never an excuse for complacency. And here's the problem. when we do that, a lot of times, the reason we don't have a wonderful world is because when we know we have a problem, we just say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, then change. If you know there's a problem, then change. Don't just live in it and don't just say, well, that's just what I am. That's complacency. And confession isn't an excuse for that. So if you want a quick fix for hypocrisy, accelerate your walk and humble your talk. That's from Carrie. Accelerate your walk and humble your talk. Learn to live better. Learn to live right. And learn to move forward. And learn to move toward people. And understand the way people are. And be and exercise humility. Exercise humility. What a change that would make. See, most of our hypocrisy comes from pride. We're just too prideful. So, humility. So, three things that Christians do that non-Christians despise. One was judge. Second was be a hypocrite and be hypocritical. And the third is stink at friendship. This one hurts, all right? This one's deep. And I'm a relational type person like many of you. And so this one's kind of difficult to let sink in. We're often looking for friends, and we use a term sometimes, best friends, because we're saying this is a person I really connect with. But here's what I think happens between Christian and non-Christian. And I know I grew up in an exclusive Christian community. And I used to say, would you live in a compound? No, we didn't live in a compound, but everybody around us was Christian, because my whole life I went to a Christian private school. I went to the church connected to that Christian private school. I played sports, especially in high school, and even we had our own little league out of our Christian school. So everything that I knew was Christian based. And I think what Carrie says here is true. He says the first obstacle between non-Christians and Christians is that relatively few Christians actively pursue meaningful friendships with people who don't share their faith. And so let me tell you how I see this surface. So sometimes I tell young people, hey, go invite somebody to come be a part of a teen group or come to church with you. And they say, I don't know any non-Christian people. All my friends already go to church. And therein lies the problem. We don't consider coworkers as friends. We just consider them, oh, they're coworkers, they're acquaintances, but we would never hang out or do anything past that. So much of the interaction non-Christians have with Christians is situational and observational rather than relational. Can I give you that again? Carrie says, much of the interaction non-Christians have with Christians is situational and observational. In other words, they're watching them do something or they're working with them. It's only in certain compartments of their life. It's not relational. And that, as a Christian, that's my responsibility to step out and become a friend to all people, Christian, non-Christian, doesn't matter, where I'm beginning to interact with them. Now, some of you are going to hear that, and you're going to go, wait a minute, doesn't the Bible say something about how can light and darkness and all that stuff? But understand, he tells the light to go to the darkness. And you're not going to do that by standing on the street corner with a sign that says, turn or burn. That's not the way it's going to work. There has to be relationship. Jesus was all about relationship. Jesus went deeper. He pursued friendships with people who were different than him. By the way, everybody was different than him. The 12 disciples we talked about, well, he had those 12 disciples. Do we think that they weren't non-Christian? They became the ones that followed Christ. He pursued them. They didn't come pursuing him. And I think we miss that sometimes. You see, in the average situation, the way a rabbi got followers is they came and requested, can I follow? I'd like to be your follower. That's not the way it happened. Jesus went to them and said, follow me. So Jesus was their friend. He went to their house for dinner. He traveled with him. He spent life with them. So when's the last time you loved somebody outside of your little bubble, your Christian bubble? When's the last time you had someone who's not your skin color nor your and I'm going to share this from Carrie, not your political persuasion, doesn't share your value system. When's the last time you had somebody like that over for dinner? When's the last time you sat down with an addict, not somebody in recovery, in some recovery seminar, but just an addict who was struggling and just loved them and talked to them and became their friend? Listen to this quote. People can smell it a mile away if you see them as a project and not a person. That's really good. Well, I've got this person I'm working on. No. That's not your job. Your job is to be friends with them. God will do the work. And people, when they they know when we see them as a project, they're like, no, I don't want anything to do with this. And so one thing God has taught me and really developed is just to be friends. To be friends. And I will tell you, sometimes that's hard, if I can be transparent, as a pastor, because as soon as people find out I'm a pastor, they want to act different, they want to talk different, and it's like I'm not going to let you into relationship because I know what you are, and I'm talking about with a non-Christian. I share the humorous story that some of you know that I officiate different football and basketball, and I remember I went to a playoff game one time, and I went to work with a football crew that I didn't know any of them. They all knew each other. So there was a 7-man crew, so the 6 of the guys, they all knew each other, came from the same part of the state. But I was the outside guy coming in, and I walk into that environment, and I come in, and of course, it's a locker room environment. These guys are using foul language. Some of the subject matter wasn't appropriate, but they're just talking, and they're just being people, and finally, the guy said, well, let's go around the room. I know, David, you're the new guy. So, and he introduced himself, had the other guys. He said, tell us who you are and what you do. And I said, well, my name's David. And I told him how long I've been officiating. And I said, and they said, what do you do for your full-time job? I said, well, I'm actually a pastor. And it got dead quiet. And they were like, and the head guy goes, hey, from now on, when you walk into a room, you should probably lead with that. So that way we don't use bad language, and I laughed, and we talked about it. But here's the deal. I want to get to know a person because they're a person. And so sometimes that label's hard. So get to know people because they're real. And have a friendship with them. Have a relationship with them. There comes this question, how do we talk about faith? It's a good question. And sometimes we want to, okay, well, let's always talk about faith, or let's never talk about faith. Well, if faith is a part of my life, I have to talk about it. But I can also talk to you about the ball game. I can also talk to you about friendships and relationships and struggles and circumstances in life and culture. We can talk about all those things. You know, real friendship works that way. So if Carrie says, try this. Just like the person, and I enjoy just talking to people. I am that kind of person. I'm a people person. If there's an opportunity to sit around a table and talk to people, and what's interesting, I wasn't always that way, and I think part of it because I came up in an environment that wasn't just always engaged with people outside of our bubble. But God's taught me to get uncomfortable and get outside that bubble and to love people and to be there where they are. And so just talk about it. Reggie Joyner, listen to this quote. Reggie Joyner says, people will never believe you love them if they feel you don't like them. People will never believe you love them if they feel you don't like them. I have heard people say, well, you know, I'm just not a people person. I just don't like people. Then you are never going to be effective, really, in any area of your life, but especially as a believer who wants non-believers to understand who Jesus is. If you got an attitude, I don't like people, it's just not going to work. And so I like people. I picture Jesus at the wedding celebration when he turns the water into wine. I picture him as being right there engaged with everybody, having conversation. I'm not saying he was the life of the party. I think he was just a person there who was connecting to people, loving people, talking to people, and just having these open conversations, and that he was enjoyable to be around. As a matter of fact, multitudes thronged to him. Why? He was saying something was different, but I believe he was also very relational with people. And so we need friends. Everybody needs friends. Christians need friends. Non-Christians need friends. We need friends. So just learn to like people because they are, not because you made them into this mold. And I think it will be revolutionary. A wonderful world happens because there's all these different things. Could you imagine if everything in the world was colored the same way? And we've talked about this before. One of the episodes we talked about that. Can you imagine if everything's colored the same way? But God gave us all these different colors. In the same way, he gave us a world with so many different colors. With so many different people, different personalities, different backgrounds. And he says, I want you to live in that, and I want you to be a part of that. So, could I challenge you today to step outside into the real world and know people where they are and see, realize how wonderful it is. And if you're one of the people saying, I'm not a people person, then it's time to change. It's time to change. And I'm not, once again, I'm not saying you have to be the life of the party, but you can have conversations. You can have conversations right where people live. And watch how revolutionary that can be. So that's my challenge to you today. Be different and watch the revolution that happens in your life. Here's what's amazing. You decide you're going to try to be revolutionary in for someone else, and you're the one that ends up changing. I know that's what's happened in my life. I've changed because I'm like, oh, I'm going to go do this so other people will change. And I realize I'm the one that changed. And it's beautiful. It really is. And I'm thankful for it. I just had a conversation with my family the other night about how much God has changed me. And I love living this life a whole lot better than the other life. And I want everybody, Christian, non-Christian, if you're listening to me, I want you to know that God has wonderful world life for you. And it's going to take some changes, but it's going to turn out perfect and beautiful. So I'm glad you were part of this today. Look forward to the next. The next episode is going to be about politics. So somebody just clicked like, nope. It's different, okay? It's different, I promise. Be ready. Listen out. Can't wait for you to be a part of that as well. So until next time, hey, have a wonderful world.